welcome to the Family Rules Podcast, where we discuss family, relationships, marriage, parenting, and everything we've learned along the way.
And how to get through it all.
It's me, TJ Jackson, and with me is my wife, Frances Jackson.
Hello, all.
And we are going to give you some key strategies, tips, and rules on how to strengthen your family and help you and your family live your best lives. On today's show, we have a special show because we have the one and only Dr. Russell Hyken on an interview that we've already pre-taped, and we are excited to share it with you because Dr. Russell Hyken is an expert on teenagers. Yes, teenagers.
Get ready.
Get ready because teenagers are difficult. I'm just going to say it. They can be difficult, but on today's show, you're going to hopefully get a better grasp and understanding of how to deal with a difficult teen.
So buckle up, and we hope you enjoy the conversation.
How are you, my friend?
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
We are doing well.
So we've already had a chat on our DDJF show with you, Dr. Russell Hyken. And I have to be honest, throughout the show, all I kept thinking about is I want you to be on our Family Rules channel and to be on our Family Rules podcast.
As was I.
So on behalf of both of us, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me back. That was a lot of fun doing that last show. You guys are easy to work with and ask great questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So Dr. Russell, here's the thing. Teenage years.
Yeah.
I love kids. I have a lot of kids. She has a lot of kids, of course, because I have a lot of kids. We love kids, but at least I'm going to speak from my heart.
It can be challenging sometimes.
It's very, very challenging. So real quickly, how do you suggest any lost parent out there, how do they navigate the teenage years?
Yeah, in those teenage years, really things change quite a bit, as you guys know. It's almost like they're back to the terrible twos. You know, all of a sudden we got kids having tantrums and making demands. So how do we navigate that is a great question. And I think a big thing is, you know, one, understanding how a teen thinks, but also as a parent, you got to shift your role. You know, when our kids were little, we could manage them. You know, we could say, I'm going to make this play date for you. You're going to eat this, or I'm going to do this. You could really manage them. Now you really need to shift that role to being a consultant. You know, you want to be in collaboration with them because they're just not going to listen to you the way they used to. It doesn't mean you're not in their head, but it doesn't.
Yes.
But they're just.
So how do you do that, though? How do you shift that? Because that's hard for some parents.
It definitely is.
You know, it could be challenging. You're thinking that, you know, you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z because you said to do X, Y, and Z.
I'm the parent. You're the child. You listen to me. So hasn't been going very well.
Work. You know what that's going to do, Francis? That's going to draw battle lines. And, you know, even as the professed teen parenting expert, if I get into an argument with my kids, it's all about winning. It's not about solving the problem. And so that's where I think you have to kind of shift and go, it's not about winning arguments anymore. It's about creating a consistent, positive, loving environment. So when your kids do have problems and when you do get into issues with them, you've got this base to go back to. They're already pre-wired to make good decisions. But kind of going back to that original comment, it's switching from manager consultant means really shifting to a listener in a person who asks questions. So don't automatically assume, you know, if your kid comes home and I got an F on that paper, it's not, why did you get an F? That's a bad question. The question should be, you know, how are we going to do better next time? What's the plan? You know, so the question. So listen and turn it into a positive and take away the negative. Now, the F is a bad thing. And if they continue to get Fs, there's a problem. But it's also figuring out how we're going to do better when we have to do it again.
So as parents, we have to be more understanding as well. So
I'm the way I'm taking it, you have to kind of retrain the mentality going in where it's not going to be, you know, once they start hitting those teenage years, you kind of have to shift from I'm going to tell this person what to do to I'm going to help this person get through this challenging time.
Because when you tell, you know, and teens are not reasonable thinking yet. They have moments of clarity. But, you know, they're very impulsive. You know, you got to get inside the teen head, and the teen head is saying, if it feels good, that's what I'm going to do. So they're not looking at the big picture. You know, why did that child fail that paper? Well, maybe something came up that seemed like more fun at the time than doing the paper. So it's understanding that, you know, there's their impulsivity is going to trump logic. So how you approach them is you don't want them to impulsively respond in a negative way to you. So like I said, again, shifting that pattern of thinking. And it can be really hard as a parent. And you know, even as like the two of you guys, you know, are sitting around, you know, alone at night talking about your kids, talk about the approach you want to have with them. Use each other as a sounding board, because it's hard not to be emotional. I get emotional. My kid does something wrong. I want to get mad, and that's okay. You know, we can get mad and we can give consequences, but we also have to figure out what are we going to learn from this and how are we going to move it forward and how are we going to keep that connection.
Great.
What do you advise parents when they literally feel lost? Because there's times where you feel like if you say turn left, turn left, turn left, they're just going to turn right. What do you say to that parent who literally feels lost?
I get to that. That happens. So hopefully you provided a good foundation for your kids. And what's a good foundation? That's that consistency piece that I was talking about. So even before they get to the teenage years, you know, hopefully you've been this loving, caring, great parent to the small child who's growing up. So you have that foundation. So always keep that in mind. Also know your kids are going to make mistakes. And sometimes the only way to learn is to let your child make that mistake and just be there to clean up the mess, you know, let the tears flow, do what you need to do. But again, it's about avoiding that argument, and it's the way you approach the negative situation. So, you know, if you, your child's room, your teenager's room is a mess, and you've said time and time and again, clean up your room, well, that's not working. So you need to come up with a different approach and figuring out what approach is going to work for your child, because every child is different. So for one kid, I might say to the parent, close the door. Don't do the laundry. Don't go into the room. Let that room get so gross that that kid's going to get grossed out himself. That may work. You know, another comment maybe is like you take a different approach. Wow, I see your room's really a mess these days. What's going on in your life that you haven't been able to get to your room to clean it up? Something else, you know, taking up your time. What can I do to help you? It just sort of depends on the child, but it's a lot of trial and error. And what works today, guys, is not necessarily going to work tomorrow.
Well, you know, you said a lot of great things. I think the one is the one that impacted me the most is simply let your kid lose and let them struggle and let them figure things out on their own. I think oftentimes many of us are guilty because we love them and we want to protect them. And some of us are more guilty than others. I don't know if I made that a little too obvious.
My wife would look at me and say, I'm the one who's the problem. She's the tough love one. So.
No, well, we change roles. But
we do change roles a lot.
She doesn't like to see her baby struggle. So yeah. I've come to a comfortable place where I feel and know it's so important for them to struggle and to learn while they're under our roof, and we can catch them and support them and help them get through any difficult things. One question is, before I forget it, is what do you say to the mother who continuously wants to protect and help out of love and doesn't want to see their child hurt? Or struggle or lose a game
or the father.
But what do you say to that parent?
Well, first off, and I'm assuming we're not doing that conversation in front of the kids. So you want to do that conversation on your own. And just asking each other, what's the worst that can happen here? You know, that's really the bottom line. You know, our jobs, our kids' jobs, we want them to be physically safe. So like, you know, don't jump off the roof into the pool because that's not physically safe. You know, we want them to be safe from, you know, just bad decisions. We don't want to get that call that they've done something wrong at school. So we want them to be safe from bad decisions, and we want them to be emotionally safe. And that's the hardest part. But that painful part that, you know, not winning, you know, their growth comes from that. So as I said before, when they do have that struggle, you need to be there to pick up the pieces. And it doesn't mean lecturing. It doesn't mean telling them what they should have done. Sometimes it may just be that shoulder for your kids to cry on. And those are actually great parenting moments as a parent. You know, when your 15, 16-year-old's crying on your shoulder because they made a mistake, and yeah, your heart's broken, but what a connection. And just being there and letting them have that moment, because, you know, teenagers know right from wrong. You know, they know they're not supposed to eat the whole bag of Oreos. You know, they know they're not supposed to tell you they're asleep when they're awake and they don't want to do chores. They know these things.
Yeah. You sound like you have a camera in our house and you're just catching, you know exactly what our kids are doing. You know, I don't know how you do that.
Out of time and said, you know, we need to talk to TJ about these things. You know?
Well, it's either that or you have kids and teens of your own and you know how it is, you know?
I think that's
another thing. I think oftentimes, anytime you struggle, you feel like naturally, I think sometimes we as parents, we think we're the only ones going through this experience.
Oh, no.
And there's many out there. So for any parent out there who's really struggling, feeling alone in the struggle or in the battle, just know there's thousands and millions of parents that are experiencing similar feelings and difficulties that as you are. So I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I have a question as far as, you know, the pandemic, like you said, has changed parenting so much. And before the virus, we really did, our kids didn't have much technology and they were so busy, but now I feel like we've lost control of that a bit. So
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So my I would like some advice on, you know, should we be more strict with that or kind of like you said, have more compassion and understanding?
Yeah, I like the latter, the more compassion, understanding. You know, teens always need structure. Like that's really, really important. I think with COVID-19, though, the way we look at structure needs to have shifted a little bit. I just recently wrote an article about, you know, I'm letting my kid play a video game till 1 or 2 in the morning. On occasion.
Yes.
But this is really hard for me because every, like my professional training, my parenting doesn't want to let my 17-year-old be on his games until 2 in the morning. But here's the thing. He's making good grades and he's generally respectful. And those are the expectations. And he knows those expectations. And when kids know the expectations, they're not going to go out and violate them every night. If you say, hey, you know what it is Tuesday night, you're caught up in a, you know, whatever, a big game of NFL or NBA and you're playing and it goes a little late, it's okay because you're doing all right. You can't do that every night. But you know what? We'll make an exception because you're doing your job. And I think that's the way to look at it. So structure is important, but being a little more flexible because of the pandemic. And as long as they're doing those things, you know, I think a teenager has a few basic responsibilities. You know, they need to earn good grades. And what that is for each house varies. I sort of like the rule of, I want my kid to earn mostly B's with a couple of A's. I'd love them to earn straight A's, don't get me wrong. But I also don't want to set that, you know, if he's not a straight A kid, that's his choice. But B's, better than average. I want my kid to be better than average. You know, I want him to be respectful to me and my wife and to everybody around him. Always be respectful to adults. That doesn't mean you can't disagree, but you need to do it in a respectful way. You know, do something that makes you interesting and be involved in an extracurricular, which right now is a little tough. But there's ways for kids to join the world, whether it's some type of online thing. You know, my kid's playing a varsity sport right now. You know, they're playing, not every game gets played, but they're playing, but he's part of a team, you know, and I think it's okay for them to make mistakes and engage in bad behavior, but they need to know how to apologize for it. And they need to feel truly remorseful. And if you're doing all those things and your kids are doing all those things, we're winning as parents. Like that's what we want, you know.
That helps a lot.
Well, yeah. And I love the way you say that, because I think oftentimes we are self-critical on our parenting. You know, if our kids are going to make mistakes, they're going to screw up. They're going to do things that we call bonehead decisions. But like you said, as long as they are learning, they're apologizing, they're living with respect, and they're trying, that's all we as parents can really, you know, that's what we should be celebrating and be happy with. I want to ask you a question. If a kid doesn't seem, if they are so frustrated with whatever's going on in life, could be the pandemic, could be they just broke up with a girlfriend, could be they just don't like this teacher, and you as a parent are feeling a sense of hopelessness, or not in yourself, I'm sorry, that the kid is feeling a sense of hopelessness, that they seem to not care so much with what's going on or with the results. Is there anything you can think that we as parents can do to re-inspire our kid to go for things and to believe in themselves and to be, you know, that youth spirit of, I can do this, of just bringing energy back? Because I see sometimes teenagers, they seem to get dull on us and really sad and depressed because of all this pressure or whatever it is. Is there any advice we could do as parents to help those kids refine their vitality?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is when that kid feels defeated, when your teenager just feels like nothing's going right, what can you do? And to go back a comment I made earlier is, first off, let them be sad for a little bit. You know, be that shoulder to cry on. Don't let them stay in that for longer than feels comfortable. And feels is the word that I want to use here. You know, trust your parental instincts. You know, some kids may need 10 minutes to recover and some may need 2 days to recover. But when you start going, wow, he's taking a lot longer to get going than he should, there may be a bigger problem. And that may be the time to consult with a family therapist or an adolescent therapist. You know, the other piece is that you can give advice and kids will listen for the most part. Don't expect them to follow it, but really try and empower them to, you know what, you hated that teacher, that's not, class is not going well, what are you going to do? And if the comment is, I'm just going to survive the semester and I'm not taking that teacher again, I'll go with that because that's a plan. So try to figure out what the plan is. It doesn't mean that they have to sort of be revitalized, but it needs to mean that they're moving that direction. And so, but if they're constantly running into those issues, if they're constantly running out of steam, if they constantly feel defeated, something bigger may be going on. So again, trust your feelings, trust your gut and decide, you know, what do we need to do? Do we need to go to the school counselor to maybe start that process? Because school counselors are a great resource. Mm-hmm. You know, is it going to a professional counselor, talking to your school about where you should go or what's going on? I mean, if your kid says, hey, I'm really having problems with this peer or this class, and you go to the school counselor and the school counselor says, yeah, I got about 6 kids that have come to me in the past 2 weeks about that situation. And then you know your kid's not alone. So sort of look for ways to build on what's happening and to figure out what the plan is.
Love it. Another question I have on the flip side, teenagers often think they know everything. They think they can go out there, walk outside the door and just dominate the world and you parents don't know anything and you're in their way and, you know, you're so old fashioned, whatever it is. Oftentimes teenagers think they're ahead of the game, maybe more so than they really are. Mm-hmm. Any advice for a parent who's handling that teen who just seems to think they know every answer and thinks that you are in their way?
And that is pretty typical of most teens. At some point, your teenage child will act like they know more than you, and maybe even on a regular basis. So it's really about choosing those battles wisely. Is it something that, you know, if they're, you know, going back to my safety comment that I made earlier, if they're doing something dangerous, then it's time to just be the parent, put your foot down, say you're not going to do that, you know, and there's going to be a consequence. But let them kind of experiment and figure things out on their own, because they are going to come back to you. When they make a mistake, you know, I've got, you know, a 19-year-old, and when he makes a mistake, he calls us up and wants to chat through it.
That's great.
They're hearing your message. You know, remember, we model behavior for them. So even if we think that what we're doing is not being noticed by them, they notice. So great example. Got my phone right here. My phone doesn't go near the dinner table, which is very hard for me at times. I'm not going to lie. Uh-huh. But you know what? The kids see us engage. Yeah. Not turned upside down next to you. That's what I got for later.
Doesn't count.
I swear you have cameras in this house. I swear you do.
We all go through the same thing, you know. But we're constantly modeling the behavior. So if we're constantly on our phone texting, you know what? I work a ton. I've got when I'm with the kids, there are times I just have to put it away, just like I expect them to put school away for a half an hour during dinner. That can be done. You know, if the two of you argue, they're going on a frequent basis, then they're going to see parents arguing on a frequent basis, and they're going to think that that's okay to do when they become parents. Now, I'm not saying don't argue in front of your kids. I would encourage that, but I would also encourage you to resolve the problem in a very rational way so the kids can see people that love each other argue, people that love each other solve problems, and they hug when it's over. You know, those are the things that we need. So when those kids are doing what they're not supposed to, and they think they know it all, just remember, you've modeled good behavior. You've taught them. You've given them that core. If you can give them that core, then let them be a little difficult now and again, because it just, your life is going to be worse if you just totally get caught up in that. So it's also about you guys too. You need to enjoy each other as a couple, as parents. And when it gets like that, just take a step back and they'll figure it out.
That's great. Great advice.
Hey, any questions? I have a couple more, but I feel like I'm asking a question.
Go ahead.
Getting a job. Do you suggest teens, how do we talk about if we feel like our kids are, we're concerned that our kids aren't motivated enough to, they're not understanding the importance of getting a job. What can we do as parents to try to help our kids become an adult?
And the first thing that I think the kids need to understand, and they're going to say to you, is like we're in the middle of a pandemic, that we can't get a job. You can get a job. As a matter of fact, there's actually really nice jobs out there. I've got a lot of teenage clients right now that are getting short hour jobs, working 3-4 hours a week during busy shifts here and there, which is great. It's a great way to get your feet into the work world. Again, it's about having that conversation at the right time. So don't spontaneously say to your child, you got to get a job. You know, it's like, hey, I want to talk to you about getting a job. You know, so tomorrow after dinner, we're going to talk about the importance of getting a job. Think about why you should get a job. If you think you shouldn't get a job, then think about that too. Tell me why you shouldn't. And if you've got a kid that's in the AP curriculum and making straight A's, they may not have time for a job. You know, so that may be the reason why. But, you know, most teenagers can figure out the time to make for a job. Talk about how, you know, when you have more money, you can, you know, talk about budgeting and spending and buying the things that you want. So the benefits of the job, the social aspects, the financial aspects, you're building resume material for your college resume and for your job resume. Now, son or daughter, tell me why you don't think you should get a job. Like, ask them what they're thinking, because most of them aren't going to have good reasons. But if they do have a good reason, like I said, I'm in the AP curriculum, I'm studying 5 hours a night and I'm making straight A's. Okay, well, yeah, that's a job. That's a job that's going to get you a college scholarship that's going to make you a lot of money. So
I love it. So you got to have a discussion. You got to be able to, instead of just directing, you need to get a job. It needs to be, can we sit down and talk and discuss the benefits of getting a job at your age? Yeah. Something like that. And then just have that conversation. And of course, have some supporting facts and supporting information so that you're just not saying the same thing over and over.
You got it. Always, as we said on the last podcast, better to have a discussion, you know, than an argument. Yeah. So always discussion opportunities. And the job's got so many benefits to it. I strongly believe in kids working when it is appropriate.
Beautiful. Any questions before we wrap?
No. For me, maybe actually one more. I think for us going back, our parents were more strict, and I think us when we were growing up, you listened to your parents. You didn't talk back. You didn't disrespect. So I find that a little more challenging. I'm trying to navigate that because that's how we were raised. And our kids are they're pretty respectful. And for me, I'm trying to be more understanding and, you know, see where they're coming from. Because my mother was like, no, you don't talk back. You don't disrespect me. You do what I say, not as I do. Pretty much.
And that works.
it works.
And I experienced the same thing. I experienced the same thing.
But I feel like, you know, that's a little more difficult for myself to navigate that.
I think that's the time we're in.
Yeah.
Is there anything? I think that's a very good point, because I think a lot of parents say, when I was, you know, young, I couldn't get away with everything you're getting away with. Where do you think that comes with? And is that a trap in saying that? And then what should we do about that? Should we be not mentioning it? Should we be drilling that in their head? What do we do?
Well, that's a rich topic of discussion. But first off, it's okay to be the parent and say, you're going to do this because I said so. Something that in my life, if you would have asked me as I was having children, oh, am I ever going to tell my kids they just have to do it because I said so? I said no. But this is what I've learned, you know, both as a parent and as a professional, is that sometimes you just need to have that boundary. And for the most part, if you've done your job, your kids will respect that. So keep in mind, it's okay to say no. Now, to the bigger question is, why is it like that? Our world is so much different than it was when our parents were parenting us. You know, it was a much more, you know, dad goes to work and mom stays at home. And when your father gets home, you're going to get in trouble. Life doesn't look like that now. You know, both parents are working now. We're also more sensitive to the world around us because of social media, television, being connected. Schools are now teaching emotional health. So we're getting all these messages about, you know, it's better to try and lead your kids and have them and teach them to make right decisions. So I think I said it before, it's like, it's about creating a positive environment. So having positive conversations, turning negatives, not into positives and foregoing consequences, but turning the situation into, as I used before, the F paper, you got an F, I could yell at you, you know, and say, you better go study, but no, you develop the plan and empower them to develop the plan. And hopefully they'll come up with a good one. And if they don't, then you may have to step in and just be the parent and say, you know, we're cutting off the internet for everybody in the house from 8 to 10 o'clock at night, and you're going to study. And then they're going to go, well, I can't get online to see my stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you just do that before we do that. You know, so they're always going to have an excuse. So, but I think it's, I like the environment of more collaborative, more chatting, more talking. Probably one of the few, there's been some positives in COVID-19, but the depth of dinner conversations we're having with our kids, despite the fact that we're eating with them a lot more frequently, are like, they linger now a little bit longer than they used to. I think out of boredom, but also because we're now sort of treating them like adults in our conversation. You know, this is my problem I'm having at work today. You know, I didn't book this job or that job, or, you know, something happened, and treating them, you know, at times like peers. Remember, we're the parents. When I say treating them like peers, it's about having open discussions. What'd you think about what went on in the world? Let's, you know, and they're paying more attention to the world right now too. So
it's great.
Yeah.
Anything else, brother?
I think that's it. I love this. This is great.
Yes, Dr. Russell Hyken, thank you so much for joining and being our very first guest. We don't even have an official name for the segment that we're doing, but that's all going to come. But we want to thank you. And before we let you go, though, I do want to give you 1 minute to talk to or share whatever you want to share about teenage, really about anything. So let's 1 minute to talk about whatever you want to talk or share with the world.
Well, it's always about my personal mission of making life better. So you know what? I've been with the cold weather where I am right now, it's been on my mind that we just need to stay active, stay healthy, get outside, get natural sunlight. Don't let the weather beat you down on top of everything else. I know you guys are, I'm assuming, in beautiful Southern California somewhere.
It rained today, but yes, it has been nice.
But you know what, guys, just get outside, make the most of it. Drag your kids with you. Take your dog for a walk. It's all about being healthy and active. And if you can stay active, you're just going to feel a lot better in general. So that's my message.
Love it.
For them. Yeah.
Love it. Awesome. So Dr. Russell, where can everyone find out more about you?
Teenparentingexpert.com is a great place to go. I've got an office in St. Louis and another one in Park City, Utah. I go back and forth quite a bit. And so feel free to look me up, and there's lots of good articles on there to read about all the things we've just been talking about on that website.
Love That's it. Great. Well, thank you again, Dr. Russell. Take care of yourself, and thank you again for joining us here at the Family Rules.
All right. Thank you guys, and good luck with the show.
So there you have it. What a talk. I love this guy. I really do. I think he's so, so great at what he does.
So insightful.
There's a way he says things that I think is just, it hits more, it sticks more. And I appreciated that talk.
Now let me go try this on Dee Dee.
She's a little too early. Give it one more year.
Oh no, she's already a teenager in her mind.
Well, anyways, if you're liking this podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite podcast listening apps. Until next time, please remember,
love is the answer.